Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes who like to sit around and drink novelty beverages while talking about Alex Jones.
Indeed we are, Dan.
Yep. What's
Dan?
Up? See, you get fancy at the beginnings, and I always say the same thing, so I wanted to try and get creative with my lilting
voice. Yeah, no, you were doing great.
My roller coaster of affect.
I wouldn't say that it's a good thing to, like, run with. But as far as the first shot in the dark, I think it's a blue sky thinking.
Rude.
I think there's no bad ideas.
Okay.
Maybe try a falsetto the entire time.
I may do that.
Let's take it again from the top.
Hello.
See, perfect.
Thank you.
I think we just nailed it.
So what's going on, man?
I don't know. I think that bit preceded my bit, so I'm cool with it.
You don't need to ask me a vague question?
I don't need to ask you a vague question. Although I am starting to like the fact that every vague question I have, It results in a, like, long story from you.
Longer than expected.
I know.
So you don't want to give it a shot? See if you can, see if you can strike pay dirt?
Let's see. Dan?
Mm.
Dan?
Yeah, there we go.
When did you first try hot sauce?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I don't.
Thank you!
But I don't think I have a good answer for that. I mean.
Thank you again!
I mean.
I did it!
I liked salsas growing up and what have you, sure.
Not a hot sauce.
I remember, my friends had, like, Dave's Insanity sauce.
Uh-huh.
And I would try that every now and again, but that's just gross. That's just, like, really disgusting heat.
Never heard of Dave's Insanity sauce.
It was like an old prank sauce kind of thing.
It's a prank sauce?
You trick someone into eating it,
there's
basically.
A prank sauce?
A lot of hot sauces are basically just for pranks.
Oh, okay.
They're so bad tasting, but they're super hot.
Uh-huh.
There's no way you would want to eat them.
So they are the, like, peanut brittle of, condiments.
Sure, sure.
You know, they're always filled with exploding snakes.
Yes, absolutely. The can, the mixed nuts.
Yeah,
can.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know, man. Probably within the last like 4 or 5 years or so is when I've gotten interested in like hotter hot sauces.
Okay.
Certainly. But I've always had a taste for the spicy.
I just am fascinated by when we were in Austin and you spent God knows near an hour in the hot sauce store.
Mm-hmm.
Just tasting hot sauces.
Yeah.
I find that interesting.
Swing and a miss in terms of it turning into a story. But,
I know.
But noble effort.
I thought it was a great question, though.
It's not bad. And speaking of all other things that are not bad. In fact, they are good.
Great transition.
Thanks. They are good. like to give a shout out to some new donors.
Yay.
To the podcast. I'd like to say, first of all, thank you, John. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you very much, John.
Also, I'd like to say thank you to someone else who has joined up with the team. Very thrilled to have this person on board. Thank you so much, Perla. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you much.
Welcome aboard, Perla.
Also, one last wonk to welcome aboard today's voyage. I'd like to say thank you so much and welcome aboard, Andrew. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Andrew. You have joined our Dakotas as being
one of the most numbered
names that we have.
I don't know about most, but there are some Andrews. And we welcome them all and appreciate them all.
All Andrews are welcome, except for Andrew Wright, who I went to elementary school with.
No.
If you're that guy, fuck off.
Or Andrew Breitbart, because you're dead, and I know that your credit card doesn't work anymore.
I don't know if that's true. I know he voted in the last election. I'll
undoubtedly,
tell you that right now.
10 million illegals voted in his name. That's absolutely true. So, Jordan, today it's Wacky Wednesday.
What?
You're on the
podcast.
It's
Wacky Wednesday?
It is. So that means one thing and one thing only. We are taking a little break from Alex Jones' conversation to dive into one of our other side worlds.
I'm betting we're going into Jim Baker today.
We are not.
Oh, shit.
Doing Project Camelot.
Really?
And here's the reason why. Carrie has been going buck wild putting out stuff.
Oh, okay, good.
She's been putting out a lot of content lately, whereas before it was a little bit of a dry spell. She wasn't putting out a whole lot.
That's what I was saying. We had only had, like, for a stretch there, we'd only done one Project Camelot in, like, 3 or 4 weeks. So I just assumed that she didn't put out enough high-quality content for us to take it down.
She wasn't for a while.
Uh-huh.
And then now she's sort of come back to fighting shape. She's back in form.
Uh-huh.
In mid-season form, as it
were. All right,
and
good.
And she is swinging for the fences, and it's great. Also, there's something that's going to come up on this episode that I think is one of the fucking funniest things I've ever heard in my life.
Okay.
And so it necessitates us talking about this.
Gotcha.
But also, at the same time, the reason that we haven't been going back to Jim Baker so much is almost, I think we've dealt with him. Like,
we did kind of nail it.
I've listened to a bunch more episodes, and it's so much crass salesmanship.
Yeah.
It's so pathetic. Yeah. That it's like, I've listened to him and I'm like, how would we talk about this? It would be exactly the same thing as all, a bunch of the other episodes.
Yeah, but so, he's not always wearing a tuxedo, so.
That's true.
Yeah. But I like a banquet bucket, but sometimes bucket you, need, you just need a regular banquet, a regular bucket.
But I do reserve the right to, if he has someone else on, like Apollo Whitecane or something like that.
Oh yeah, no, she should be hit by a car.
Then it's worth getting back into and dissecting the sort of intersection of his doomsday faith buckets and politics.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's worthwhile, but he's not doing as much of that in the episodes that I've watched, and I don't want to waste hours and hours of my time fishing in this dry well of Jim Baker. It's a waste of my time.
I think, but everybody wants you to do that.
Right, and we... That's fair. People do want me to be pissed off. That is sort of part of the charm of the show.
That is a little bit of the show, is everybody wants you to torture yourself so we don't have to.
Yeah, I guess so. Then also the other thing too is I want to expand the sort of bullpen,
the roster
of non-Alex Jones stuff. And so in the future, one of the things that we are going to do, you and I have discussed this off air, I might as well let people know. I think we're going to talk a bit more about Joe Rogan in the future.
Yeah.
I think we're going to dive into a little bit of his catalog and go through some of that stuff.
Yeah.
But that's pretty intensive, and so I'm not ready to do that today.
Mm.
And thus we talk about Project Camelot, and like I said, one of the funniest fucking things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, we talked about maybe doing an episode with Jordan Peterson on
it. Yeah, yeah. And I actually think that's not worthwhile. Not as worthwhile. I think a lot of people are doing takedowns of Jordan Peterson, and God bless them for it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if we need to create other people's work that's already been done, but I think that there's a story going on with Joe Rogan's path towards his alt-right, Nazi-adjacent behavior that is not being told. I think that there is a path that is interesting that I found through analyzing his guest list that I think is worth getting into. And I hope we can do that in the very near future. And look, I'm not saying that it's contingent upon this, but if you want to support the show, it helps a lot towards us making these goals that we have a reality, towards making making the work that needs to be done easier to do.
Yeah.
So if you'd like to support the show like these policy wonks we've shouted out today and every day in the past, you can go to our website, knowledgefight.com, click support the show.
Perfect.
We would appreciate it.
Perfect.
So, Jordan, today it is time for Project Camelot.
Yes.
Here is an out-of-context drop from today's show.
I have remote viewed the moon, actually.
Okay. All right, Carrie. Nope.
You could just look up.
She's got a remote view that moon.
What does that even mean?
She's gone to bed and dreamt of the moon.
But like, if you're remote viewing, does that mean she stood on the moon?
Yeah, well, she has the experience of her astral body being on the moon, I guess, or something
it's
like that.
It's not that interesting, though.
I would assume it's not, but turns out it fucking is.
Okay, well then now I'm in.
That is going to be a theme on today's episode. How interesting is the moon? So
that is a game show that would last exactly 3 episodes.
So Jordan, today's episode, it starts unlike any other episode of Project Camelot I've ever heard. In that, I don't know why Carrie didn't just say, I'll start half an hour later.
Hi, I'm Carrie Cassidy, and it turns out Eddie Page is a giant racist, and I apologize. Is that how it starts out?
Hi everyone. I'm Carrie Cassidy from Project Camelot, and, very happy to be here tonight, but unfortunately my guest, Bruce Seasdall, I think he didn't get my message, sort of scheduling him for an agreed upon time. So I texted him over on his channel where he just posted a
video.
Don't
need to have this conversation on air.
And maybe he'll see my comment under that video, reminding him and trying
to see if he commented on a video?
We got our wires crossed as to the time when he was going to come on the show.
All right. So,
so if I understand correctly,
we got a no-show.
If I understand correctly,
yeah,
this guy was supposed to be on the show.
Bruce Seasdall.
Yeah. Oh, I thought his name was like Bruce Seasdall.
Nope. It's as if his vision is everything. He sees everything.
He sees all.
Yes.
Bruce Omniscient.
His name is Bruce Schwartz, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, she messaged him
right
through whatever messaging app.
Uh-huh.
He did not respond. turns out he was live streaming at the time.
Or uploading a video or something.
So she commented on the video, hey, remember how you were going to do my show at this exact moment right now.
Yeah.
And so she still went on air?
See, that's the part that's confusing to me, is like, you can just not do it. You just not do the show.
Like, does she have a live streaming time? Is she like a, we live stream at 5 p.m. every...
From everything I can tell, no. It's pretty inconsistent. Cause she'll do like three or four in a week and then none in a week.
Okay.
You know, so it's not like, same bat time, same bat channel. You know, it's not like that.
Right.
But I admire it.
So she went on air just to cuck him out for not showing up on time.
Somewhat. And look, I'm confused by you, why you don't just say, hey, I didn't show up. I got the night off. But I also, I admire the hustle. I admire the like, no, we are doing the show.
He was supposed to be here. Just because he's not here doesn't mean we're not going to do the fucking show,
Dan. Doesn't mean shit.
It's show business.
Absolutely.
It isn't show hobby.
It's show business, not show beeswax. Hey, how you doing? So.
Beeswax sees all, actually, Dan.
So because this guy is a no-show, that means that Gary needs to spend the beginning of the show... I don't know, just basically doing some housekeeping, you know, just like, you know, I'm saying like, hey,
by the way, aliens are real, guys. I know we're waiting for our guests, but let me just run down the list of things. Weather weapons, totally real. That's what happened in North Carolina. I don't even know if it's still there. Raptors, they are actually in the hurricane, and that is why people are dying. They are being hit by flying raptors.
Raptor-cane.
Yeah. Ooh, that would be a...
That's the next movie.
That's a Sci-Fi Channel movie right there.
Undoubtedly.
God damn it. They should hire her.
Yeah, totally.
Ugh.
So they, she asks for, like, questions, but of course none come in. And so she just sort of rambles and checks in on some things that are happening around the world of Project Camelot.
Okay.
I do want to say that Eddie Page had his Facebook... He has two Facebook pages, if I understand it correctly... Both of them have been taken down last night, and so was his YouTube channel.
So go ahead and say that he's a racist.
Something he said did not agree with the powers that be.
Racist things he said?
Or want to be, or think they are, or whatever you want to call them. And so gone. His channel's gone. And that's not even getting, like, strikes. That's not a normal procedure. That is basically the only people that have the control to do that would be the CIA,
wait,
the NSA, that sort of people.
Huh?
So obviously Eddie Page is now hitting a nerve.
Okay, so Eddie Page.
And that nerve is racism.
It is the idea of a society getting along.
Yeah.
So Eddie Page has been kicked off Facebook and YouTube by the CIA
or NSA.
Could be both.
Could be both. That's true.
So it's interesting that on the 15th of September, Carrie Cassidy put a blog up on her website. New info, R.E. Eddie Page, Anunnaki or Pleiadian. Uh-oh.
Wait. So now
uh-oh.
Eddie Page's heritage is in question?
The worm has turned for Eddie Page. He is, it turns out, things have fallen apart between him and Gary Cassidy.
Wait, so this is prior to September 15th.
It has to be, but I think only by a day.
Okay, all right.
This is from this last week.
Okay, so
Eddie Page
is taken off of Facebook. Huge NSA CIA conspiracy.
Yes.
The next day, is Eddie Page a giant liar?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I like it.
So now what it turns out, is that, so I'm going to read this, as a quote, from her blog post. Quote, Maggie, who works with Eddie and who has been seen on the YouTube videos with him, has taken down his YouTube channel as well as both Facebook pages, Project Aquarius and Michael Wolf. Those are the two names of his pages.
Yes. Yeah.
On the urging by, quote, Daniel, one of Eddie's Pleiadian brothers, and Michael, another brother, who has been in contact with Ari from Shattering the Matrix, which is another online conspiracy show.
Sure. All right. I'm tracking.
So... here's why they contacted and told them to take stuff down. He went on someone else's show.
Uh-huh.
And he purported to show a photo inside a Pleiadian mothership.
All right.
He showed this picture on this other person's show.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out that if you reverse image search this, or if you just kind of know,
just Google it.
It turns out that this photo is a snapshot from a video game called Secret World Legends.
God damn it, Eddie, you are being too specific again.
Mm.
God damn it, the internet will find you.
Also, in a previous video, Eddie claims a UFO to be the Pleiadians, but it's a photo taken long ago in the book UFO Contact.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So wait. Hold on. There's some important information that we haven't handled then, if this is true.
Uh-huh.
Is Carrie not a Pleiadian now?
Well, I don't think that she ever really went too far with that. I think she was flattered by it, but I don't think that she was like, now I'm a Pleiadian.
Mm.
I think that was more of like a, aren't you pretty? That kind of thing.
Oh, that's not good.
That's how she took it, I think. She's like, oh, aren't you as noble as a Pleiadian? Or something like that.
Mm. I don't like it.
So now...
That should have been your first sign that Eddie Page is full of shit.
This blog post is fucking crazy.
Okay.
Because... It's very clear to any right-thinking person that what's going on is that Eddie Page is using pictures of UFOs and being like, oh, yeah, that's my Pleiadian ship.
Right.
Or, like, snapshots from video games. And
right.
That's the mothership.
Just like his medals are representative of the real medals,
mm-hmm.
So are these pictures representative not of what they are,
yeah.
But of the idea that they represent.
Uh-huh. So now...
They're synecdoche.
Here's where Carrie goes with it. Quote, now, Eddie has been caught in a few lies recently involving pictures of craft and a control panel on an interview he did with another host called Ari from Shattering the Matrix. I'm in contact with her, and apparently he claimed the photo from a sci-fi game, if I understand what they're saying, is the inside of a Pleiadian ship. Either the photo is from a game...
There should not be an either-or situation. This is not an either-or.
Parenthetically, assuming the gamers didn't have access to classified photos of real Pleiadian
there
ship,
you go. That's your out.
And so Eddie is lying. Or it is possible Eddie is deceived because the inside of the ship looked so much like his memory he mistook it for such.
Should have taken the first out. That second one is tough.
Yep.
That second one might be a bridge too far, Dan.
So while this is clear evidence that Eddie is a con man,
yeah.
And he's passing off things as like, oh, that's part of my story.
Yeah.
Much like he did in the last episode that we did, where he's just using the books of Sitchin
yeah.
as like, this is my life story and stuff like that. In reality, that's not what gets Carrie to be like, oh no, what's going on here? So here's where she makes her point clear. Quote, I have made very public statements in revealing my position to Eddie's convoluted claims of future diabolical events that show that there is a problem in his religious overlay that, in my view, must be from childhood mind control, where he believes emphatically in a punishing God to such an extent that he also considers himself to be a punisher, judge, jury of humanity, as well as executioner, calling himself Abaddon. The conflict.
Wait, he called himself Abaddon?
Apparently he has.
Okay.
The conflict in his mind over this appears when he claims in the same breath that he loves humanity and that he and his father want to save them. So because of his things that he's said on the show, where he talks about his father and the wrathful extermination of the Draco
yeah.
and stuff like that, as opposed to it being some sort of light being like she knows the Pleiadians to be.
Of course.
She has decided that he must be Anunnaki.
Okay. You can't just break up with somebody, Dan. You
quote,
have to have a reason.
Quote. This is key.
This is key?
His father is just a Pleiadian ruler / administrator of a small group of Pleiadian planets.
Not even the large group.
He claims. Not all the planets within the Pleiades. And his group are working with many other races within the Galactic Federation. Which, by the way, according to Ashayana Dean, are in violation of the peace treaty with Earth, and many of the races are part of the Luciferian Rebellion. They are not aligned with the Guardian Alliance, which is a group of races who are defending and safeguarding humanity. I've given this info to Eddie about the Guardian Alliance versus the Galactic Federation. However, to my knowledge, he did not bother to read the Voyager books to determine the truth behind it.
What an asshole. I'm telling you right now, this is the only reason to not like Eddie Page.
Mm-hmm. If Eddie is a member of the warrior clan known as the Anunnaki and is one of the hybrid reptilians, then so, it is likely, are all his brothers and sisters.
That is a classic if-then statement.
Yep.
I can find no faults there, mm-hmm. Dan.
The testimony by Eddie on my recent interview about the Pleiadians shooting down our satellites, an act of war, is perplexing. And one would have to figure out if this was an act to disable the secret space program's battle group communications in support of the Dark Side Illuminati Draco takeover, or whether the satellites belong to the Dark Side Luciferian Rebellion and therefore belong to the enemy of humanity, and shooting them down is an act of defense of humanity? Exclamation point, question mark, question mark. This is
That's a lot of exclamation points.
This is an important question. This is an important point, excuse me. So now,
okay, all right.
I think you start to see the issue that Carrie has backed herself into, in that she can no longer say that Eddie is a liar. She has to make him evil now. But unfortunately, yeah, in doing so, she now has created a supervillain, because Eddie Page could now, like, really lean into that.
Oh, yeah, no, this is going to be great.
He could lean into, like, yes, in fact, I am evil. I am Abaddon. I will crush you, Carrie Cassidy.
Let's do it. Come on. Come on, Project Camelot. I want that episode now.
Oh, my God. A showdown between good and evil on
Camelot. On Project Camelot?
And they're both full of shit.
And we don't know for sure yet whether or not Carrie herself is good or evil.
That's true.
She is just a documenter of events.
I don't know if she's like a part of the Galactic Federation or the
Cosmic Alliance.
I doubt it.
They would never allow her in.
Oh my God. This is what happens when you just, you have no standards of who you'll talk to. And you're just like, all right, well, now my narrative's going down this road. Eddie's a fucking huge part of it now. Uh-oh. Eddie is using video game pictures to back up his story. What do I do? Oh shit, he's actually Anunnaki.
Obviously. Right. Obviously. There's God no damn. Other explanation.
These people are so dumb. It's so great. It really
This is like you didn't shoot me, I dodged, of like a 6-year-old.
Right, right. That's not lava anymore.
Yeah, no. That's water, and now I'm super safe from lava.
In a world where we spend so much time talking about Alex Jones and things that like really matter, this is such a delight. This is such a delight to be like Eddie Page. Eddie Page is using fucking Halo to be like, that's my life. I shoot things on alien planets. All right, buddy, go to bed. Go to bed, Eddie.
All right, Eddie.
So you've
done good. Now you're no longer useful. So no, gonna have to call you an Anunnaki.
He's super useful now as the bad guy.
Right. But
he's
not on
heel,
the show.
Basically.
Not on the show.
Well, I mean, maybe.
What if they had a reconciliation episode, not a showdown episode?
Carrie
but
brings
an episode
in an exorcist.
Where... Yes, absolutely.
Perfect.
Oh yeah. Carrie takes him. Get us in the production room.
Carrie takes him to see Mark Richards.
No.
He has a come to Jesus moment in Vacaville prison.
Cause then what would happen is Mark Richards and Eddie Page would wind up switching places. That doesn't matter.
Mark Richards puts his mind.
Yeah.
Or, better, Eddie Page claims he did.
Yes, that would be the best.
I haven't felt like myself ever since I went to Vacaville. I'm starting to have these weird memories of raptors.
Oh, God, that'd be so good.
Perfect.
Oh, Minerva, get on that!
So many possibilities for this narrative to go in better directions than it's gone up.
Yeah, this could be fucking... Oh, that would be... Oh, man. Because Eddie Page totally has the gifts to pull it off, which are a complete lack of shame and...
Flexibility.
Yeah. I'll lie about anything, man. Toss me in there. I shut down those satellites, totally thinking that would be a fine thing to say.
Put me in, Carrie. But I'm ready to play.
That's her out? Her out is on the show. He said that he shut down these satellites.
Yeah.
Now it turns out he's a liar and full of shit. So
but I can't,
she's
but
like,
she can't
well,
call
shutting
that
down.
Out.
No, of course not. Because then they would point out that she agreed with him on everything.
She interviewed him so many times.
Yeah.
In a short span. Like she never does that with guests.
No.
She pushed him to the front of the line. And so, like, the idea that, it's come out that he's a fucking a definitive bullshit artist, that you can't even fucking deny that, Carrie. She has to shift the goalpost and be like, misinformation.
I like that, though. I like fact that she, at the very least, listened to the most recent episode with Eddie Page on it and was like, haha, I've found you. No, you're evil.
She didn't, though, because she's recording this episode and saying that Eddie got taken off by the CIA and what have you.
Right. But
in reality, it was the people who work with him who were like, uh-oh, we better cut all traces of this. We don't want to be involved with this anymore at all. It's
the CIA.
Probably the CIA.
Yeah.
So this is how she spends her time where her guest cancels. And then she starts talking a little bit about how she did an interview with somebody else. And
wait, so her guest is completely canceled? We're not getting him.
He has not shown up.
He has not shown up.
At this point.
Okay.
I will say that I did an interview with Ian Trottier is his name.
And I
posted it yesterday, the link to his radio show that I was on. And then he tried to post it on YouTube, and he got an immediate message saying that that radio show with me was banned in all countries.
No,
all of them.
And I get a kick out of that because, like, how dangerous am I, right? If then this guy is kind of mainstream-ish, it looks like Scott. No more. So it looks like that was too much for them. They couldn't handle it.
Oh,
God damn it, Dan. There's nothing I'm going to love more than a dog interrupting a show.
I don't think that I don't think anyone's banned in all countries. I think not every country, but a lot of countries have very different standards for what it passes for acceptable, you know?
Yeah.
Because every country has different laws. Things like that.
Do they?
Yes.
Can we be sure?
You know how we go over all the time, like, the lack of First Amendment in countries not called the United States?
Yeah.
That's sort of just the baseline
okay. You
can go from.
All right.
I think that what happened here is she did an interview with this guy, and, like, the tech didn't work out, it glitched or something like that, and he's trying to be polite, or it was a shitty interview, and he's trying to be like, oh my God, I tried to post it, it got banned.
You're too
dangerous.
Yeah, that
because that's
right.
Something that she would believe, as opposed to like, look, the tech didn't work out. And she'd be like, well, when can we do it again? Let's try and do it again.
Yeah, that's a good point.
This is like, I can't have you on. I'm sorry. The law of the world says you can't be on.
Look, when even Luxembourg bans you, you know you got to stop.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even. I don't even know what they do there.
It's just such.
It's just
shit.
A couple of guys in Luxembourg.
Such shit. Just garbage.
He uploads it to YouTube.
Yep.
And YouTube says it's been banned in all countries.
Nowhere can anyone see this. Nowhere.
What about SoundCloud?
No.
Okay. What other streaming services? Can he Twitch it?
Nope.
Boy.
Good luck, asshole.
How about Spotify? Can he put it up on Spotify?
Fucking put it on Gab. Who gives a shit? Put it on Mike Adams Reel.video or whatever fucking bullshit. Place still exists.
Release it as a podcast.
Why not?
Yeah.
Anyway, all that stuff is bullshit. So now we find out that Carrie is writing a book.
Ooh, that's not a good
idea.
But
there's trouble in paradise.
And I'm also finding out that apparently my book is like coming in at like 700 pages or something really crazy.
Too long.
Too many subjunctive clauses.
Okay, something just went wrong with my computer there.
CIA.
Okay, that's not cool. okay, so anyway, I just want to say that, let me see if somebody, it looks like he is showing up. Okay, he did get my message. Excellent. Okay, hold on one second. So, fabulous. Let's see if we can get him on the show here.
Off air, you can do this off air.
Hello?
Hi.
Whoa.
Carrie, hi. I'm so sorry. I was waiting for the reply, and I wasn't sure if you were going to call or not. Hi, I'm here.
So it looks like, from whatever I can tell, Carrie didn't send a reply to him that confirmed this is the time we're doing it.
Right.
And so he was going about his business and waiting to hear back, and she just assumed that she had written and said, this is when we're doing it, and then went on air and was like, I don't know where the fuck he is. So he calls in. So
now we got Bruce. It was most likely she sent him a message saying, do you want to do it at this time?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I mean, that would probably work.
Right.
You say what's best for you.
I mean, you know what? All it is just shoddy lack of confirmation and bad behind the scenes structure, which is what you'd expect from this.
Yeah,
so I'm like,
absolutely.
None of this surprises me in any way. But
this is definitely one of the things that she shares with Alex.
Yeah.
That is for sure.
Alex is like checking his phone on air and
shit. Yeah.
So now we get Bruce Sees All as
Bruce Sees All.
He's in the play. He's in the mix.
Okay.
This guy. Boy.
What does he see, Dan?
All.
Okay.
Everything.
All right. I don't even think that he would make that claim.
I don't want to tell you anything. I just want him to tell his story. And Carrie is going to give him a little bit of an introduction here that I can distill down to 4 words.
Great. So it's great to have you here. Let me just give you like a real brief. I've got your introduction here. You operate a Celestron 1400 HD computerized 14-inch telescope with a 38-inch I don't know if that's a .38 or 38-inch optical tube with DSLR and adapter at the back 24-megapixel camera, 3910 millimeters of focal length. Yeah. And you've done asteroids, planetoids, unknown planets, meteors, planets, stars, nebulas, constellations, Orion, Andromeda, Taurus, Virgo, Perseus, and Boots, yeah, and many more. And you're really, you're very serious.
So if we're...
Yeah. So he's very serious. Here's how I would sum up all that.
You have a telescope.
Dude has a telescope. Why is he on the show? He's got a telescope.
He's got a telescope.
I've watched some of his videos. I've seen the telescope. It's a nice looking telescope.
Is it a good telescope?
It's not a great telescope.
It's not a great telescope?
I mean, it's fine. It's better than like your hobbyist might have.
Uh-huh.
Like it's bigger than the one you have as a kid to look up at the stars.
Yeah.
Certainly.
It's
bigger than that.
Is it a comically oversized telescope like you might find in a cartoon from the 70s?
No, it's right in the middle. I would call it a middle of the road, but closer to impressive than not.
Okay.
It's a fine piece of equipment. Now, I don't know if he has I don't know if he knows exactly what he's doing with it, but he's got it.
So, okay. So all we've got is a guy who has a telescope.
Mm-hmm.
That's not enough to get on Project Camelot.
It is.
Make no mistake. You know what? All right.
It is.
Fair enough. That is enough to get on Project Camelot.
She interviewed the janitor who created a warp drive twice.
Yeah, but he created a warp drive.
Spoiler alert. He didn't. He says he did.
Did he make a telescope?
Mm-mm.
That would actually be a pretty cool thing. I would actually have listened to an interview where she's like, okay, cool. So how did you make this telescope?
That would be interesting. Maybe it would be a How Things Work or
great.
You know, like that, one of those podcasts.
Yeah.
Not Project Camelot worthy.
Ah.
But look, Jordan, you're right. I'm going to call myself out on it. Just having a telescope is not enough to get you on the show. This guy's got a lot of other things going on.
The ability to see all?
He sees all through this telescope. You understand?
You should have more than that. That's not all!
He's going to break some very serious news in this clip.
Okay, cool.
So if we're able to bring the small photo, keep it the same way it is, but just bring it this wide.
Enhance.
But the exact...
He's describing zooming.
Enhance.
Same way you can see it very small without it bending or distorting. And then you can see closer.
You can put it under a microscope.
Not necessarily more detail, you know what I mean? So people think that, oh, he's going to get close. How come we're not seeing structures? We're seeing what we can see as a small photo that I bring bigger.
Zoom in.
And people get concerned. They don't understand how
I'm getting.
Or does
that call it the beginning process?
Close, it's fake. And it's nothing fake. It's all real photography and very little filtering. Night vision colors, just to get the green colors, because green brings out a lot of the details on celestial objects.
And my eyes.
And I am getting good feedback. People like you, other channels that are giving me a good hand. But honestly, it's really hush-hush. It's like, I don't know, it's like I'm not getting out there so that people can see themselves, you know, what I have. It's all raw, and it's beautiful. What I'm catching on the moon, a whole bunch of movement, different UFOs, and they're all real.
Oh, okay,
we
go. You don't need to say they're all real if they are all real.
Getting, because that's really, a lot of people don't realize that that's actually, in my opinion, some of the most impressive stuff is when you actually have a craft flying and you're capturing that.
I've gone to Bruce's YouTube channel, and I would say...
Did you see his telescope?
Yeah, I did. Okay. And then I also watched some of his videos where he purports to show structures and motion on the moon. And I wish I still smoked weed. Like, yeah. Honestly, it would be so fun.
It would be great.
Because his narration is crazy.
It's crazy?
Well, because he's sitting...
Is it good?
No.
He doesn't have a terrible voice.
It's not terrible, but no. He's, like, saying that this is a city on the moon, and it's just blurry pixels.
Oh,
it's
that's like, not good.
It's the same thing we've seen over and over again with, like, space hucksters, let's say. You know, it's like, I have found proof of X, Y, and Z thing. Or, like, all those UFO guys who, you know, have this picture, and like, why is there string there? It's like, no, that's not string. Like, it's that sort of thing.
Yeah.
He's not cheating it in so much as, like, those people were creating fake UFOs and, like, forced perspective and things like that. He's cheating in the analysis of it. He's showing, like, a blurry pixel because when you zoom too far.
Yeah, of course.
On a picture that you've taken, you're going to get, like, distortion and blurring of pixels.
Right.
And he's like, right there, you can see.
Which,
that's a
fucking
city.
Which, you know, you could solve, buddy, if you got a better telescope.
Which is why, you know...
That's why those really, really big telescopes that we have...
Run by scientists.
Yeah, they don't see that stuff.
No, no. And anybody who studies astronomy at all would be able to look at his stuff, and they have, and been like, this is shit.
Yeah.
This is... What you're doing is just misinterpreting things that are very well understood by anybody who studied science and studied space.
Yeah, but you can't have those people near you.
Now, I am saying that anybody who has studied space and science and astronomy would understand these things, and I say that because I must make clear this guy has not. At all.
What does he do?
Here's his backstory.
Okay.
This doesn't inspire confidence.
First a janitor that invented a warp drive, and now I've rebranded as Bruce Ciesel.
It's close to that, but not exactly.
Continue. What I want to do is actually get you to talk about how you got into this field, and also your background in photography, how you kind of got that all happening.
Well, I was a wedding.
Sure, absolutely. I've always been a fanatic about nature photography, and, as much animals as the trees and
what?
Blending in buildings in certain angles. I like playing with angles.
Do you?
So I used to take a lot of shots, even did a little bit of photography, taking photos of people, even a couple of children. And I was getting really good at it, you know.
Why
but
did
it was
he
always
say it like that?
I don't know. It
Why
is
did
weird.
He say even a couple of children?
They're notoriously hard
really
to photograph.
I really don't like the way he said that.
No, it does.
It does not inspire confidence.
It's very weird.
It's a weird way to phrase it.
Yeah, it's almost like I am upset at my stomach. It's almost that
yeah.
level of
yeah,
weird
yeah,
phrasing.
Yeah.
At the time, it remained a hobby because, of course, I live with my son and, you know, I pay the house, pay the bills. So I had to work at the bus station and I'm still working there. So it's a regular job, but, I started taking photos, and then I, at one point, to make a long story short, to jump into the astrophotography, after about 5, 6, 7 years of just really it being a hobby, taking nature photos, really nice photography, never sold any really, but then I started taking the moon, and I got one star. All I can say is that it was towards the constellation of Draco, because, you know, people say, where exactly is the star? I never give an indication. Honestly, I don't know.
That's a bad sign.
That's not good. You
That's
should really
good.
Know where a star is. Also, you said it like you don't know where any star is.
If you're taking pictures where you're purporting to show like life in space and structures and stuff like that, it behooves you to be like, here's where it is. You guys go confirm for yourself.
Yeah.
It seems like maybe the most important piece.
Also, even in his backstory, he's like, and I would put things in angles to make it look. I like to manipulate photographs so you see what I want you to see.
Which is
not a.
I mean, that's fine with like artistic photography.
Yeah, exactly. That's perfect for photography.
Not great when you're trying to prove aliens.
No, usually bad.
Seems like a weird thing to bring up when you're describing your backstory. That's like purportedly supposed to reinforce that, like, I have hard evidence of X, Y, or Z. You
right.
know, like, my backstory involves manipulating angles for artistic benefit, blah, blah, blah. I work at a bus station.
One time I took some pictures of even a few kids. What? Hold on. At the bus station?
Probably.
In the bus
station? Quite frankly, I would not be surprised.
What are you doing? Nothing wrong with working at a bus station, dude.
It leads me to believe that he does not have a degree in astrophysics.
You don't think so?
I think he might have brought that up. I think that might have been, instead of it being, I work at a bus station and as a hobby, I started taking pictures of space, but I don't know where I was taking pictures. I have no fucking idea, but I found aliens. And,
I like his description of his life. About five, 6 years of doing this, and then I had a breakthrough. What about the moon?
No, this is fertile
soil.
No one's ever
taken a picture of the moon before.
Unplowed ground here to dig into. Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. That's crazy levels of bullshit. So I mean, right there is enough to be like, no, sir.
Yeah.
No. I will listen to someone who has studied this, because at very least they know where the star is.
Preemptive question. I'm sure that it will be answered by the end of the episode, but I want to get this from you first. Does he believe what he's saying, or is he scamming? Is he on,
both.
Where is he on our stupid evil continuum?
I would say both, but probably closer to scamming.
Uh-huh.
Cause he has a GoFundMe page where he's trying to get people to buy him more equipment.
Yeah.
He's raised like $8,500 on there or something like that.
Really?
Yeah. So.
Damn.
I mean, I don't know how lucrative of a scam that is, but I think it's probably like the nascent stages of, like a scam. But I would be hard pressed to say that I don't think he also kind of believes it.
Yeah.
But it's easy to believe things when you don't understand things. Like when you don't understand how space works. You don't understand what you're looking at. It's really easy to assume, oh, that blurring of pixels looks a lot like a building. It must be a building.
Yeah.
When there's a really easy explanation, if you just talk to anybody who, like, any astronomer would be like, or any photography expert would be able to explain to you the blurring and, the warping of pixels that happens when you zoom too far.
Or just a telescope manufacturer.
Yeah. Any of these people would be able to,
be able to explain it away pretty quick.
Right, right. So, Bruce doesn't know where stars are. And then from there, it gets a little bit worse in terms of the assumptions that he's making.
Because, you know, people say, where exactly is the star? I never give an indication. I honestly don't know.
I'm going to go
it's
with
pointing at Orion. It doesn't mean the star is in Orion. It could be very close to Earth and tiny, or it could be very far away and huge, and we're seeing it very small. So,
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
It could be a couple of blocks away. It could be 2 billion light years in the past.
Oh.
Who knows?
I'll tell you who knows. Astronomers know. That's not hard to figure out. That is one of the very basic things.
It's probably something you should really know right off the bat.
Yeah. They have equations and,
Bruce sees all, explain gravitic lensing if you could.
He sees all except textbooks. Explain this.
It is fascinating.
It's hard though. It's hard. You know?
No, they are really boring.
It's very boring.
It's really boring to read a bunch of textbooks.
It's much more fun to be like, there's a fucking city up there.
It's
and
beautiful.
I know it. I'm the only one who knows it and no one's listening to me.
Right.
Give me money.
Right.
It's very easy to do that and much more gratifying than say, I don't know, studying for 4 years to get a degree and then dedicating your life to working at a large telescope. Oh my God, look at that. Isn't that Beetlejuice?
Yeah.
I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
You know? That's not the path I went down, but many people have.
It's always fascinating to me, these people who are essentially hard sci-fi geeks.
But they would bully hard sci-fi geeks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But they believe it's true.
Yeah.
And how hard they struggle to avoid learning anything about what it is they're talking about.
Well, that's why they're soft sci-fi geeks.
Okay.
They're
fair
not
enough.
Into like the the strict adherence to rules
right.
They're
yeah.
really into just the fanciful, I imagine that this is what this is,
yeah,
and
yeah,
therefore
yeah.
it is.
They're not Neil deGrasse Tyson being like, well, you know, in Up, that house wouldn't have flown. Like, yeah.
Yeah. This guy, I'll be honest, he's really close to the border of the, like, we won't talk about them on the show. You know, that sort of Project Camelot line of, like, is this person okay?
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
That sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
He's very close to the line, but he's on the right side of it for us to talk about.
Okay, good.
I don't think that he's so mentally unwell.
It'd be fun if you were just like, and he's on the other side of it. End of episode.
No. So he's concerned about saying where a star is because it might be big and close to Earth, or small and far, or vice versa, whatever.
He really did a great job of explaining perspective, though.
Yes, which is something a photographer would do. So now, hold on, that clip isn't done. It gets weirder.
I'll just say I'm pointing there or I'm pointing there, and I got something on a star. Some surface structures. I have the video. I'd have to send it to you
on
one
a
day.
Star.
If ever we talk about this again, I'm sure we will. And very different to the moon's surface. And there is
stars. Yes,
a sign so long me that it was constructed. It does look chiseled. And again, the ancient structures that we see here on Earth, the way they talk about the Mayans, etc., the way the Egyptians could have chiseled in the rock, and many different ancient civilizations, intrigues me. Finding that on another planet, something that looks like just chiseled out surface in certain areas.
It was the
and
statue
after
of David.
That, I started taking photos of the moon.
There is literally no way, no matter what kind of zoom this guy's got, that you could find something that looks chiseled out. Unless it was what you can see.
Well, it could be really far away and chiseled out, or it could actually be really close small and chiseled out.
Jordan.
Wait, did he say that there was
the idea?
Did he say there was a surface structure on a star?
Yes.
Okay, that's
he's saying a lot of shit.
That's not a good thing to say.
The idea that you could see a structure and determine the masonry of it from his satellite or his telescope. It's cockamamie bullshit.
Yeah.
I implore anyone to go watch any of his videos. The idea that he could tell about the sort of technique of the building, it's all in his imagination. He's just making all that up.
He got an Egyptologist to explain to him about how pyramids were built. And
Carrie is his Egyptologist.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
She's an amateur Egyptologist.
Gotcha.
So dude, this is wild stuff. He also says that, like, there's lush vegetation on the moon, and,
okay.
There's a lot of colors.
All right. All right.
And one of the things that people need to understand is that, like, oftentimes when you take pictures from space of the moon, they're much grayer. But if you take a picture of the moon from planet Earth, oftentimes you'll see a little bit of coloration to it. You'll see there's like a little bit more strict whiteness or even some yellowing, that sort of phenomenon. And the reason for that is Earth's atmosphere.
I don't understand.
The same.
Wait. So are you telling me that taking a picture through Earth's atmosphere looks different than taking a picture from like the Hubble telescope, which is outside of Earth's
Bingo,
atmosphere?
Bingo, baby.
I don't understand how that could affect the photography at all. What if it's just really, really close in Earth's atmosphere,
right?
But it's actually very small?
And he's also said that he likes to tint things green because it brings things
exactly.
out. So it's like, maybe you just did that and you forgot, and that's why you think there's vegetation.
Lush vegetation.
A place where there's no air.
Tinted it green. There is air, all right?
No, there's not.
There's a small amount of air.
Not enough.
I mean, not enough for your human-based lush vegetation.
Or his whatever his definition is. So now I want to say that I don't think that his grasp on astronomy is strong.
Not great.
I would say that the indication of I don't know how far away this thing is, it could be huge and far, small, and close, that leads me to believe that he's not wrestled with the actual work. But this next clip leads me to believe that this guy, oh man, he is into cutting corners when it comes to physics.
Do you have any idea how big the craft are, for example, the dimensions of the craft, and then the structures? Is there even any way to estimate that?
Sure. Well, I'll tell you how I did it. The way I talk about all the information and the sizes, maybe seems silly, but it seems to me the most
it is silly
logical way to confirm something
Not
using
true.
The eye, like just with the naked eye.
Right.
I compare it to the size of the craters.
Oh.
Okay. Since I've taken so many shots,
no.
The UFO itself, I'll pick a very small crater in any frame that I will find a small UFO and compare that size to a 30-kilometer crater. So if I can fit 4 or 5 UFOs in a 30-kilometer crater, right off the bat, we know for a fact that it is at least a mile. We can know that.
Wait, what?
It's at least a mile, and that's often what I'll say.
Hold on.
Because some of them do seem to be 3 to 4 miles. And, Carrie, there are different sizes.
Excuse me, sir.
Some are cigar-shaped.
Right.
So who cares?
Excuse me, sir. How many kilometers are in a mile?
Well, he is in Canada, I believe, so he might be on the, I think he does wrestle through the kilometer to, mile conversion to try and help carry out throughout the episode.
Okay.
Now, the first problem that I would say with this technique of judging with craters is the exact same thing he's already brought up. What if that spaceship is far away from the crater? How are you judging sizes of the crater? That's
by the size of the pixel, Dan. It's obvious. It's obvious.
That doesn't work.
No, it makes perfect sense.
Perspective is still a problem.
No, pixels.
No.
Same size.
Doesn't work.
If it fits in one crater, it fits in every crater, Dan.
Also, I don't trust him to use like to know how big one of these craters is, first of all.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a problem.
Exactly how is he estimating the distance of that?
I think he just like, it's a fucking 3 mile spaceship, buddy. Enjoy. Cool. I mean, this is tragically flawed thinking.
I bet you could Google how large certain craters on the moon are and people have
measured
it.
You can.
Yeah, they have measured it and then you could just look and see if that was the crater that you were looking at.
So now here's where things get real bad for Bruce is that if he did do that and take those measurements, right? And we just for fun assume that he does have spaceships on tape.
Sure.
Right? You
sure.
have all of that.
Yeah.
And he does take that, you know, whatever measurement he's made of the spaceship and put it into the crater that he has the measurement of. That perspective problem is still a problem. He can't confirm where that spaceship was and there, unless it's on the ground. Unless it's not a spaceship as much as it is a dune buggy, you can't do this. Like, you can't do that. Cause even if it's a mile off the ground, let's say, it's going to completely fuck up your measurements.
Yeah.
Your equations are bunk.
Quite literally, it could be in the exact middle distance between where the Earth is and where the moon is. And it would look to you taking a picture as though it might have been actually on the moon at the time.
It's 3 miles according to that, but because it's halfway between the Earth and the moon, it's actually only, I don't know, 60 feet, like it's a pleasure yacht or something like that.
Is it a pleasure yacht?
Yeah, it's a cigarette boat.
Yeah, it's a nice little Tulin spacecraft.
It's like what Carrie was doing in Nam.
Yeah.
Hanging around on a... So, I mean, look, here's the deal. I watch these videos and they're shit. They're absolute shit. I don't need to get into why other than to say, but what's more important is just the thinking that we're seeing demonstrated.
Yeah.
The lack of him even, like, realizing, that could be a problem for my equations. The idea that the supposed UFO isn't on the ground. Shit, how am I gonna get around that? The fact that he's just like, oh no, it's 3 miles. Who gives
you saw a structure on a star. You have to assume everything is grounded.
Sure.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And no one knows where that might have been.
Look, I'm not going to point to where a star is. It could be anywhere.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that stars are everywhere always.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't understand. I will never, I suppose, maybe I do. I don't understand that knee-jerk reaction so many people have to anybody who spent their entire life studying stuff. Like, just, like with the anti-vaccine people, like, there are people who started out as, like, 9-year-olds, literally fascinated by all of this stuff. They go through school, they're brilliant, then they go to college, they study all of this stuff, they're brilliant, and then they spend the next 20 to 30 years of their life building these vaccines in order to save lives, and there are a bunch of people who are just like, nah, fuck you, you don't know a goddamn thing. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's rude.
It's not like they're doing it for fame. It's a really boring thing to do. Like, the human instinct that you have to, like, want to make your mark on shit is not going to be satisfied by that kind
right.
of shit. It's just like, they're trying to do a thing that they love.
Well, here's another interesting parallel between the worlds of Alex Jones and the worlds of Project Camelot. Because the example that you brought up, the vaccines and the anti-vax people, It is very similar thinking that these people have with space shit, in as much as they don't look at it that way. They don't look at it as someone has dedicated their life to studying this stuff and they know more than me just because I am angry and want to, you know, scam people, make a little buck out of this. They don't look at it that way. They look at it like these people got in with probably good intentions, but then they became sucked into the nefarious globalist system.
Right.
So, like, with the vaccine people, it's like, oh, yeah, they became corrupted by Big Pharma.
Yeah.
And, you know, that took over, you know, what they were about.
Yeah.
And with this, it's like, oh, NASA is, you know, being all shitty with this. NASA is doing this big cover-up, and now they're a part of it.
Yeah, but that just doesn't track. If you've ever studied human behavior of any kind, that doesn't make sense.
No, but it does make sense if you're looking for a convenient, easy way to explain the non-explainable.
Right.
Or the non-explainable being, why is everyone disagreeing with me?
Yeah.
Or something like that, you know?
It's just such a bummer that you can't. Like, these people cannot experience just a certain level of trust in other human beings.
Unless those
it's just not possible.
Unless those people implicitly agree with whatever worldview they're putting
exactly.
out. And then that's why Carrie gets sucked in by people like Eddie Page.
Right.
Is because she trusts him because he reinforces the worldview that she's already putting out.
Right.
Same reason Alex gets screwed over by guests all the time.
Right.
And Robert David Steele on because he was reinforcing Alex's worldview until he came on and said that there are children being kept as slaves on a moon base. And that's when Alex got burned.
Bruce has photographed some of those children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But even that speaks to the general idea that the only person that they can ever truly trust is themselves. Because
yes.
the only people they'll believe
are people who
people
are
who
extensions
agree.
Of
exactly.
themselves.
Exactly.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's such a bummer, man. You, like, engage with the rest of the human race. We're not bad.
No, we'll laugh at a lot of this shit, but.
Yeah, we're good guys.
At the same time, even if this guy was putting this stuff out into the world, like he had this YouTube channel where he's like, I believe that I've found video of bases on the moon. I believe that these are structures, but at the same time, I could be wrong. And, you know, I just want to put this out there and start a conversation or something like
yeah.
that. I wouldn't laugh at him.
No,
I wouldn't treat him like a dick. I would be like, well, at least you're open to the possibility that, you know, this, what you're seeing isn't what you think it is. This certainty is what makes it funny.
Right.
Because the certainty implies you're trying to pull a fast one.
Well, isn't that something that, I mean, to a certain extent, you and I can only experience very briefly? Do you know what I mean? Like, you and I are both,
Speak for yourself.
How dare you?
I don't know. I don't know what point you're trying to make, so I can't agree with you. Just
I mean,
yet.
Perhaps the largest difference that we have with so many of these people is that you and I are, default at the doubt position.
Yeah.
Like, our default
ourselves.
Position is like, there's no way that my first reaction or even my second reaction is the correct one.
Right.
I need to make sure and double check and double check and double check. These people don't have that at all.
That's why this guy will maybe make $8,500 in a GoFundMe, but no one will know who he is in a couple years or whatever. His flash in the pan 2 years from now will be still working at that bus station.
Ouch.
Taking pictures of the moon.
And children.
Oh, boy. I hope he's not taking.
That's such a weird way of putting it. I can't get that out of my head.
It's very weird. And I hope he stops taking pictures of children because this next clip scares me a little bit.
Oh no!
What I'm trying to figure out is how much harassment do you get? You know, in terms of what you're doing.
Do
they leave you alone, or do they harass you?
So far, I'm going to be very honest with you. I can tell you, I've been harassed by Men in Black, by so and so, and it's not true.
Real quick, he said, I need to start that back a little bit because I listened to this already and I can't quite figure out if he is actually saying that he's been harassed by the Men in Black or if he's saying the idea that I've been harassed by the Men in Black isn't true. I can't tell.
I heard that he has been harassed
I think that is what he's saying.
The movie Men in Black.
Sure. Vincent D'Onofrio is a little bit upsetting.
Now,
but
how dare you? Vincent D'Onofrio was the hero of that film.
Listen, I want you to track this as closely as
okay.
you can because
right.
I'm not sure what he's alleging.
Okay.
What you're doing. Do they leave you alone or do they harass you?
So far, I'm going to be very honest with you. I can tell you I've been harassed by Men in Black, by so-and-so. And it's not true.
It's not true.
I got a lot of trolls. I did.
He's saying, I could tell you that I've been harassed by the Men in Black, but it's not true. So that's his credit. Yes. That's what he said there. The phrasing of it threw me the first time I heard it.
Yeah, because if you say, to be very honest, I could tell you that I've been harassed by the Men in Black,
be very honest, comma, I could tell you.
Exactly. Yeah.
The phrasing is a little bit complicated.
Yeah.
Especially for a Project Camelot guest.
Yeah.
I'm okay with what he's saying there. Because he's saying, I could lie to you and say that it was the Men in Black, but really I've just had some trolls.
I could tell you that I'm upset at my stomach, but indeed my stomach is just upset.
Right.
I did get big death threats, but honestly, they seemed really more nasty and vindictive and to try to scare me. And honestly, I always respond with something worse, like, well, if you're going to break my legs, I'm going to do something worse to you, and I'll play with them, or I'll laugh to see how they react, you know? Because honestly, people that are doing this for real, I've seen some stories, and they say 6 words. And they pain you. They know what to tell you. Usually they know what to tell you.
Tubal cane?
I don't know what those 6 words are. Maybe I'm going to kill you. I am going to kill you.
That's 6.
Right. I don't know what the others, but the 6 words and then they obtain you is very weird. I don't know what he's talking about. Freaks me the fuck out. Also the idea that he's like, hey, if I think you're threatening me, I'm going to threaten you double.
What's one of the bad impulse? What's one of the acrostics for the solar system? You know, like my very
I don't want to say mine, the mnemonic device, you mean?
Yeah.
From childhood, mine was my very erotic monkey jack sperm under nasty pillows.
See, there you go.
Yeah.
Now
that's not an acrostic, that's a mnemonic. Right?
Isn't that an acrostic?
I don't think so.
I believe it is.
I don't know.
Because you could put them never mind. The point being, the reason that they know to tell you only 6 words is because there are really
6 planets.
Only 6 planets.
Right, but
that's why they can tell you those 6 words in code.
Dude, it's like D12. There's only 6.
Is it like D12?
It's like D12. There's 6 members, but each has an alter ego making the 12. The Dirty
Dozen.
Okay,
there you go.
There's 12 planets, including Tiamat.
Planet 9?
Yeah.
Tiamat?
Tiamat, the 10th planet. Yeah, planet X. So there's 12 planets, but it's actually
only Baphomet, why not?
It's only 6 planets, but each has an alter ego planet. So, Jordan, I don't like the idea that he's saying that people threaten me, I'm going to threaten them back. Because we know from looking at these personality types,
they're very stable and they have no issues later on.
Oftentimes they feel like they're being threatened when they're not.
Right.
And they may respond to critiques as threats, which is why I would like to bring everyone's attention to a website called FlatEarthLunacy.com, which is a website that takes people who make flat earth arguments and breaks down why it's a load of bullshit.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other astronomy related stuff on there, and they did a little bit of looking into Bruce Sees All, and they posted some very critical things about his work.
I really believe that Bruce Sees All could be a name.
It's not.
Like, I really have a hard time dealing with Bruce Sees All as a name. I want it to be Sees All. Like, it's got a flair to it.
It's not, though.
I like it. I am Jordan Sees All from now on.
So he got wind of the fact that they had made this page that was critiquing his work, and he sent them an email that is a little aggressive.
Oh, no.
Quote, "You like posting my stuff, huh? You'll have this nice little note to add to your childish website. Everyone knows that you're a jealous YouTube, creator that has no education whatsoever. LOLLL. You guys want to be the top, and it ain't about being the top. It's about exposing what is truth. You're part of the lie." Oh, by the way, every time there's a "your," it's Y-O-U-R. That's petty of me, but whatever.
Hey, you think you're educated.
You're
Y-O-U-R.
You're the lie. "My next video will send a flood of haters. I have more than you 100 views a day here. L-O-L-L-L. What's the matter? The website ain't working for you?"
Did you say what's the matter?
Yeah. What's the matter? Yeah, what's the matter?
What's the matter?
Not what's the matter. What's the matter with your
website?
What's
the matter with you?
Yeah, you should be all over the news, but sadly, LOLLL. This is a weak, W-E-E-K, end website for your family, it appears. These posts against me prove to me that I have stirred up a few brainless wonders to the reality of it all. The fact that everything you said about me was a lie. Therefore, this post will be taken down. My business will not be attacked by you. You will have brought many troubles your way. Promise. I will be watching what you... It's post, but it's spelled P open bracket O-T-S. So that's not great.
P open bracket O-T-S. Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm sure it was supposed to be post.
Yeah.
Better take this shit down or you will hear from Mike, buddy. Mike ain't so friendly.
Who's Mike? Wait, where did Mike come into all of this?
Third act reveal.
So Mike is an enforcer for this guy?
Probably a coworker at the bus station.
There's this guy named Mike who's going to fuck people up.
Does his dirty work.
All right.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he was running that kind of operation.
So they didn't threaten him, and that's the kind of response that he gives out when someone critiques the possibility that he's not doing due diligence with his astronomy assumptions that he's making. So when I hear that, I hear, okay, this guy's a little bit aggressive, aggro.
People who question the intelligence of people debunking them using facts often reveal via their questioning.
Yeah.
That they are not themselves.
They don't have a good grasp.
Yeah. You guys think you're so smart and you misspell everything and throw brackets in there in the wrong places. Like, guy, it's like, hey, I get it that you're angry, but come on. Do a little double check. Do a little spell check. You're writing an email. You got time. It's not like you're on the phone.
But you know what? To me, it also is an indication of lack of trust in your own position.
Yeah.
Like, that sort of behavior to me really indicates that, like, Bruce himself knows that what he's putting out is thin.
Yeah.
You know, and so he's just like, better attack this guy.
Right.
Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to stand on my merits that, oh, that is actually just a weird distorted pixel.
Right.
That I'm pretending is a city. So, I'm worried about this guy, and I hope he fucking attacks us.
You know, isn't it weird? Like, in all honesty, what is the difference between that guy and, like, the Daily Caller? It's just proofreading.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
the
yeah.
Daily Caller has all of those same insults towards people that disagree with them, but they can just proofread. But and so, for some reason, a huge section of the population is fine with it.
But we also don't know if this guy is really into white shit or anything.
He probably is.
I don't really know his business in terms of that. And they don't get into it, unlike Eddie.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Eddie will find a way.
Yeah.
That's the one lesson from knowledge.
Ian Malcolm. Eddie will find a way.
Eddie will find a way.
Chaos theory. So in this next clip, Carrie has a very hard-hitting question for Bruce, and that is, has he ever taken pictures of aliens?
First of all, I want to understand whether you think that you have ever photographed beings.
That's an interesting question. A very interesting question. And I'll tell you yes, but I think it could be a possibility. But I don't think that people are understanding what I mean by beings. I'm not seeing right now anything with head, shoulders, and legs like us. I'm seeing things
mists
that have movements that seem to be not like the wind that's moving them or that not debris. It looks like they're moving themselves, and it looks like they're contracting.
Dan, is there wind on the moon?
Extracting.
No. He has photographed the glow cloud. He has photographed.
All hail the glow cloud, Dan. First off.
That's what he has photographed.
Welcome to Night Vale.
Yeah. I got bad news. There is not, wind, in the moon, but.
All hail.
There is an interesting phenomenon of shadows.
Oh, yeah?
That end up being caught in space.
Yeah.
And also, like we talked about with the coloration of things that you see in space often being affected by, you know, just the Earth's atmosphere, one of the things you have to take into consideration is even if you're using a telescope, you can't see through clouds. You know, you can't see through...
No, you don't. You don't need to worry about it.
So oftentimes you can...
You're looking through a telescope.
You can end up seeing footage of something that appears to have clouds on the moon or something like that, and it might be just like very high cirrus clouds, like up really high in the, I don't know, troposphere or whatever. I don't remember the exact, the levels
the ups theirs.
Yeah. So like that sort of thing to me. Like,
once you get past heaven, I don't really remember the spheres.
The fact that he's saying what I've, what I have ended up taking pictures of is, you know, clouds that are alive. That leads me to believe that
he took pictures of clouds.
He has accidentally captured something, like high level cirrus clouds, because cirrus are the wispy ones.
Yeah,
sort of thing. He's captured that and is misunderstanding the nature of his telescope. That's kind of what I'm guessing.
He made the classic rookie mistake of a guy with a telescope, which is that you can only see the space. You can only see space when it's night.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the other thing too. Like, if you watch his video, you'll see like, things that appear to be lights and stuff like that. And it's so...
It's like his neighbor's place.
No. But it is like reflections. You know, it's not like, you're not actually seeing like a luminescent bulb on the moon or something like that. Which, by the way, how fucking crazy would that be if that's what you could see from your telescope?
Like, that would be crazy.
You're looking at the moon and you see someone like turn on their porch light. Like, that's crazy.
Well, he can't tell you where the stars are, Dan.
There's no...
He can't point towards them. It could be his neighbor's place.
There's no fucking chance of you, no matter how powerful a telescope that you have, that you could look at the moon and see a light on it. It would have to be the biggest fucking light in order for it to be visible to your telescope. So... The reality is that when he sees like things that appear to be lights, it might be a piece of like space dust or something like that that's reflecting light, or any number of possible explanations. I'm not an astronomer myself, so I don't know all of them, but I know there are plenty of them.
Like in
I've seen this be debunked a number of times.
In the classic pale blue dot photograph, you see a lot of shit up there. Not living people though. All those lights.
Living glow clouds.
Oh, well, obviously, but all glow clouds are alive.
Also, Florence. Hurricane Florence?
Yeah. Glow cloud?
Glow cloud.
Glow cloud.
I didn't have the fucking...
That's the problem with North Carolina and South Carolina. They never hailed the glow cloud.
I didn't have the nerve to watch Carrie's two-part interview about that hurricane.
Nope, not going to do it.
Guessing it involves weather weapons.
Yeah,
or something. I decided to pass
on
that.
I'm out on that one.
Hard punt on that.
No, thanks. So, a lot of people's lives are really fucked up for a long time because of this.
As we're recording this, still not over.
No.
So,
giant pollution is now running rampant. Duke Energy.
In this next clip, Jordan. How do I introduce this clip? I don't remember what it says, but I know it's dumb. He's just
That's a good introduction to just about any Project Camelot clip.
I guess what I would say is he's trying to express that, again, he seems fascinated by the idea of Zoom. Like, that Zoom is a thing that happens.
Yeah, you can embiggen things.
The ability to Zoom on a camera seems like almost witchcraft to him.
The more I zoom in, the more I see what people are talking about, the hologram. I could see that, and it's scary. The way, like you say, ends meet sometimes, it looks like you're looking at a corner of a screen or something, angles move, and you wonder what the heck's going on in it. Unfortunately, it always passes off that it's the telescope, right? Or people, there's a bug on your lens, or at 4,000 millimeters, Carrie, you'll never see a mosquito on my lens. You will never see a mosquito like this in the window of my lens. Impossible. Because the mosquito would be this stretched out, and it would be a blur, and it would be a blur that you wouldn't see.
You're arguing against the wrong criticism, buddy. You know, like, that's not a legitimate criticism. I don't think anyone's giving him. It's just, because that would be very obvious to tell. Like, you definitely see.
Yeah, usually you can see bugs on a lens.
Yeah. So, I don't know, man. The more you zoom, the more you do see. I'm not sure exactly what point you're trying to make with the hologram, business. But I do know that some of these other people, like a John Lear, some of these other weirdos, in the, secret space, Carrie Cassidy kind of world, they do speculate that there's like a hologram that's going on that doesn't allow you to see what's actually going on the moon. I think that's what he's sort of hearkening to.
I thought it was more like if you zoom in far enough on any lens, you can see that the entire universe is a hologram.
Now that's interesting. That might be what he's talking about too. I don't know. We just have to, you and I are left here guessing at exactly. I can tell you from listening to this episode, I don't know. I can't answer that question for you. like, I don't have more prior context that's going to help.
Fair enough.
But I can tell you that this, at a certain point, became an incredibly boring episode.
Oh, of course.
This was one of the rare times that I almost fell asleep.
Really?
Yeah, I was just like, I'm so interested in just the kernel of it.
Yeah.
But then the fact that the episode's an hour and a half, there's
that seems
long stretches where it's just like,
That's a long time for an episode interviewing a guy with a telescope.
He does have a telescope, though. I can confirm that.
That's true.
So you might be asking yourself, this dude worked at a bus station, does work at a bus station, into photography, likes to cheat angles, and it's like, how did he get into this game? You know, we're not really entirely sure. We know that he said he started taking pictures of a star that he has no idea where it is.
And a few children.
And a few children. But it's not entirely sure, like, what's his sort of story in the secret space business?
Yeah.
So how long have you been doing this?
This is my second year completed. And on August, if I'm not mistaken, the 16th, I think, I completed.
That couldn't even get you an associate's degree.
Completed my second year of research. I had never done this before. I'm very interested in the New World Order.
Oh no!
What was going on. And,
what?
Hidden
Why do we always go there?
And stuff and how it was involved with the governments. And that was a really scary one for me. But then the secret projects came afterwards. So everything I'm researching now is only from what I'm finding. If I find UFOs, of course I'm going to research space programs now. I did everything backwards. So I'm researching in depth a lot of the space programs. And it's scary because I'm finding a lot of the stuff of what's in the space programs. And maybe there's some similarities. You know, it could be that I'm finding some faraway evidence of a sign of maybe the space programs, us.
That's right. Or,
that's right.
Yep. So I started looking at things I don't understand, and then I went to the people who do understand them, and I was like, that can't be right. So then I went to the people who don't understand them at all, and I decided that the secret space program is real.
But
that makes sense.
Your response is so right on in terms of, like, when you hear him be like, you know, this is, I started to get into the Illuminati and the, oh God. All right. All right.
Okay. We were always going to get there sooner or later.
I appreciate you being forthcoming with that information, but, so we got one more clip of this dude, Bruce Cizalle. Bruce Cizalle. I have,
ooh, that's fun.
I have indicated a couple things that lead me to believe that this guy is not on, up and up in terms of, like, space science.
How so?
Well, I mean, perspective is the biggest
Provide
of those issues.
Provide 8 more examples.
I'll refer you to 8 of his videos. How about that? But this next clip is deeply, deeply troubling. On just like a understanding reality kind of basis.
Oh no.
This actually may be a mic down clip just because, not because it's so shocking, but because I really want you to understand what he's saying.
Well, it there have been some really odd things going on with the moon, and I guess it also has to do with maybe the axis that we're shifting, the axis
right
here on Earth, because the moon does not appear to be in the same place that it used to be.
Exactly. But is it one of us shifting? Now I'm wondering. Maybe the moon hasn't moved. This is just an assumption, hypothetically
right
speaking. Maybe the moon hasn't moved and Earth is rocking back and we're going, oh, look at the moon leaving. You know, or we're both moving or maybe we're not moving and the universe around us is going like this. It's scary even just thinking
about
it.
Yeah, no, it's very cool.
The unbalancement. Me, I have that in my head. It's like everything's spinning around.
Holy
and you know how
shit
a penny, when it spins, it'll spin for almost a minute. But just before it stops, it starts going really, 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 really fast. And I often say to myself, that's, we're at that point in the universe, maybe, that we're at that fast wobble, everything's speeding up, and we're just on the tilt, everything's about to go, like, turn or shift, or people ask me, is the polar shift going to be in a day? I don't think so. It's probably maybe 20 years, 10 years, because we've been seeing it so long, me for maybe 10, 15 years. Maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, boy. Dan, oh, boy.
Dan, when did you learn that the universe was moving? When did you learn first? The Earth was moving.
Now,
second,
no,
the
dude.
Moon was moving around the Earth, making
dude.
Them both move simultaneously.
Dude.
But at different rates of speed and patterns. Both of them also orbiting the sun. The sun itself, which orbits around the supermassive black hole at the center of our galaxy. The galaxy itself, which is expanding as part of the universe that is expanding at an exponential rate that we can't really understand. That we're explaining away with dark matter, which might as well just be saying, like, magic or whatever it is. The universe is always moving. It's moving. Why is that a question that he's asking? Why is he high as shit? Being like, what if the universe is moving, Dan?
Yeah.
What is going on here?
To answer your question, I think it was sophomore year of college because I had a prerequisite physics
class.
It should have been
sooner than that.
It just wasn't something that really interested me.
Should have been
that
sooner
much.
Than that, Dan.
I think I had the broad strokes before that.
I want to say I learned that the universe was just moving and not just chilling out seven or eight years
no,
old.
No. I was keenly aware of that. But okay. In terms of the science of it, I got a little bit of the basics in a prerequisite physics class that I had to take with a guy who I think is named Dr. Mushroom, but I'm not entirely sure. My professor had a name that sounded a lot like Dr. Mushroom.
Dr. Bruce Mushroomzall.
I did not care to find out what his real name is, but I'm sure it's like Mushoon or something like that.
Right.
It tickled me back then to know that it was Dr. Mushroom is teaching me about space.
Yeah, that sounds fun. That sounds fun.
So, look, dude, beyond the reality of stuff.
But, boy, did he really just ask the question, maybe the universe is moving?
You have to ask yourself, what is the dichotomy that's being presented by Carrie and Bruce? And what it is Carrie is saying, the moon is moved. Now, if that were the case, disaster. The tides would be completely devastating. Like, it would be much worse than what we're seeing.
No, it would be far worse if the moon had not moved.
Oh, yeah, that too.
That would be way worse.
No.
The moon is absolutely moving.
Time out, Jordan. Time out. Because the moon not moving is the equivalent of the moon moving. Because the moon moving, in her, what she's saying is the moon is moving in a way that is not what we would expect it to be.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
All right.
It's not where we would expect it to be based on our calculations and
but
all that.
I feel like his response is more similar to the moon is not moving.
Yes. But that's why I'm saying the dichotomy.
Okay.
The other version is everything but the moon is moving. Which is equally troubling and would have devastating consequences for the solar system. It would be a complete fuck all. Like, everything would be screwed. If either of these possibilities that they're suggesting were the case, we'd fucking know it by now, for sure.
The confidence that it takes to fly in the face of every brilliant group of people who have ever studied this, ever. That's really astonishing.
Especially when you have no education and you work at a bus station.
Yeah.
Like, the idea that you have a telescope and you're like, I've disproven all scientists.
Yeah.
Like, calm down, man.
Yeah, you really shouldn't be the equal of, like, Pliny the Elder 4,000 years after Pliny the Elder, you know?
It's not a good look.
Yeah.
So this is where we leave Bruce, and he goes and sparks up another bowl or whatever, and gets real introspective.
What if the universe is moving, man?
Right. What if it's not the weed that's burning, but I am the one that... All right. So he leaves, and then we get a fucking unfortunate postscript from Carrie, because she doesn't end the episode.
Why doesn't she end the episode?
I don't know exactly. I think maybe because she felt good about starting the episode without a guest. And maybe she's like, maybe I'll vamp a little bit here.
Right.
And unfortunately, she reveals that things are not, all is not well in Camelot.
I am trying to raise money to go see Captain Mark Richards again and do an interview. And this is a great time for me to do that interview because so much is happening. And I want to run a lot of Eddie's information by him, see how he sees it, and see what he's up to and what he understands about what's coming.
I'll tell you what Mark's up to. He's in prison.
down the pike in the future here on planet Earth from his perspective, from the
Mark, is the universe moving?
Yeah, no, totally, yeah, totally.
But only because of the raptors.
Also, please put some money in my commissary.
Raptors, who he's in touch with as well. So that's a very worthwhile enterprise. If you can donate to Project Camelot, you just go to my website, projectcamelot.tv, and click on the donate button. And then it gives you several ways to donate. And if you just want to send money to my email address, you can do it that way.
Look, I'm not mad at her for asking for money to support the work that she does.
It would be very hypocritical of us.
No,
to do
totally.
That.
And I think that that is the new, I think that's the model that should be successful, and all of us should.
Either that or universal basic income.
No, I think that's another part of it too. But I do think even with universal basic income, which should absolutely, and everyone should have, the right to housing, but be,
yeah.
and we should abolish prisons, but.
Yeah!
All of that aside, I do think that a successful model for entertainment and that sort of thing is, do you like this thing? Give them a couple bucks in a subscription format that allows them to be able to create the thing that you like, which is what they like to do. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I sincerely don't. And I, even though I think Carrie is stupid as shit and unfortunately pushing a lot of really dangerous stuff into the world, whether it's Eddie Page saying that racism is totally cool or a lot of these people who are hypothetical aliens being weirdly into Russia also
happens,
or just like sort of dangerous flippancy and anti-science views,
yeah.
Like those sorts of things, I hate it, but I still I'm not gonna be mad at her for being like, if you like what I do, please support it. I am gonna say, hey, what does it cost to go visit someone in prison?
I really was thinking that exact same thing. Like, wait, why are you trying to raise money to go? Hey, you have enough money to book a flight. It doesn't take
a flight. She lives in California. He's in Vacaville prison. She can drive there.
Wait, where does she live?
She lives in California. I don't know, LA. I don't know exactly where, but
so
she's in California.
She could drive like at most. I've driven down the California coast.
Right.
At most, like 4 or 5 hours.
At most,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it costs something to have a hotel. Get a fucking Motel 6, $60 for the night or whatever. You know, it doesn't.
Whoa. Carrie's not staying in a Motel 6. They're run by raptors.
Well, then that's on her. You know what I'm saying?
No, I mean, she doesn't want to be CIA raptored out of existence, Dan.
The way she's framing it is gross. Because if it is like, hey, if you want me to go and do this as a bonus, you can support that. That kind of feels better, but the idea of like, I need money to do this.
Yeah.
Is gross because it doesn't cost anything. It doesn't cost much.
Mm.
It costs a tank of gas.
Yeah.
And maybe a cheap hotel room.
Yeah.
It's a guy in prison. That's free.
Hey, now on the other hand.
No. The other hand is this.
Yeah.
I think that there's a possibility that Mark is charging her to do interviews.
I don't disagree with you.
There's a chance that she needs money because interviewing him isn't free. She needs to put something in his commissary in order for him to agree to do an interview. Maybe there is like a fee she's not talking about.
Yeah, but that can't be legal.
It's absolutely legal.
I mean, it should be legal, but what could he be charging that would need her to, like?
What do you mean?
Like, what is he charging?
He could charge like $500 in his commissary or something like that. That would be very easy to do if you're in prison. It's a version of extortion that people in prison can do.
I did not know that.
Oh, absolutely.
I know you can put it in the commissary. I know that. I apologize for not having enough friends in prison.
Dude, there's like a whole thing in prison.
I have some friends in prison, but not ones that I visit.
In prison, one of the things that people do is extort other prisoners to get them to get their loved ones to put money in their commissary.
Right.
With the threat that they will hurt them if they don't do it.
Well, of course.
So that's a thriving economy within prisons.
Well, capitalism is great.
Yeah. Hmm. Hmm. there's a documentary that Louis Theroux did. I believe it was about San Quentin. He went and he was talking to all these people.
Yeah.
And there's this one terrifying prisoner that I still think about very frequently.
It's very haphazard, that documentary.
Dude, it's terrifying. There's this guy and he explains that like the prison mentality for him and everyone he knows is, they call it gabos. That's the game ain't based on sympathy, which is the idea that like, I will extort you. I will do everything. I don't give a shit about your humanity. Sympathy doesn't come into this. So I don't necessarily think that Mark Richards is, you know, shaking down people or anything like that, but he's got a fish on the line here.
Yeah.
Carrie is his fish in terms of being able to be like, I will tell you more about the secret space program if you give me money.
Right.
Because I need that to do all my, I need to get toilet paper or whatever. You know, there's a sympathetic way to,
at the same time, it's also a way to,
get contraband,
get cachet and all of that stuff in prison. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that that clip to me is indicating that there might be more going on here than is.
Which somehow makes, of all people, Mark Richards the only rational actor in this entire situation.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's horrible, but
he's the only one whose actions make sense.
It kind of puts things in like a more reasonable frame, you know. Like, what is he doing? Oh, he's extorting Carrie.
Yeah, we've often said that he was just like, he's a bored dude in prison, but it makes way more sense for him to be like, yeah, I'll do an interview where I'll say all kinds of crazy shit to you for a grand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see that very easily.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
So that clip kind of brought that thought into my mind, which is interesting.
Yeah.
It's certainly in line with a lot of these things that we're starting to find out about the guests on Jim Baker's show. They come on with the understanding that they're going to sell Jim Baker 5,000 books.
Exactly.
And then he's going to sell them.
Yeah.
And I believe that there's certain arrangements like that with Alex Jones, although I can't prove that. I do think that there are similar things going on with Alex's, like, consignment deals that he has with guests.
Yeah.
So I think that there is a much more nuanced economy behind these programs than we really realize. Now, unfortunately,
well, the reason that we don't really understand these economies is because we don't do them.
No.
Like, we would be bad at it.
Terrible.
Oh,
And also, all of these people are liars. So
Right.
They all hide what they're actually doing.
Of course.
For the interest of putting on a good public face.
That would be fun if we did that, and then the first thing we say to, like, anybody that we interview is just like, hey, we bought 5,000 of this guy's book. We hope you guys buy it. We're going to mark it up in order to get our cut of the profits.
Sure.
Anyways, let's begin the interview. And the guy's like, you aren't supposed to do that part.
That's why I had to cut out 10 minutes at the beginning of that Mike Kaplan interview. Mike, we're going to sell your seat. That did not happen.
Sure. Yeah.
So, look, it gets worse because Carrie goes on to say something else that leads me to believe that, again, all is not well in Camelot.
Uh-oh.
Basically, we just, you know, need money to operate. I wasn't able to pay my webmaster last week.
Ooh, no.
We've been actually really down and out financially because, you know, I didn't make the money I was supposed to make over the summer. So I laid out a bunch of money on my credit cards to travel and so on and so forth. So if you can help out, you know, even a little bit helps. And that would be appreciated.
Carrie's falling into debt.
Carrie, do you remember when you got scammed by that guy to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars?
Might have been tens of thousands, I think.
Tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
And then
David Morton.
Then you didn't even blame him?
No, he was on the up and up. It wasn't his fault.
God damn it, Carrie. This is, I don't want to be the guy who says, you got this coming. But, you got this coming!
And you know that money that she didn't have this summer, you know why? It's because she didn't pay her taxes last year.
Of course she didn't.
Do you remember that?
Why would she?
She was posting about how she needed a bunch of money because she owed back taxes.
I did not remember that.
Yeah, that happened
Jesus.
After tax season this year. So, like, I mean, it's tragic. I feel bad about it, but this all makes sense. And now she is advertising a trip to Egypt. Well, she will take people and show them around Egypt. $3,550 for this trip around Egypt. Flight not included.
Oh, well, the tickets to get to Egypt are pretty expensive, Dan.
Right.
That's like, I don't know, for a flight that you're not in a dog cage under the belly of the plane, that's like $700-$800
flight not included, $3,550
at least.
And you also have to pay for meals other than breakfast, but the breakfast is covered because she's assuming that you'll be in a hotel and they'll have a continental breakfast. You got to pay for your other meals. It's basically just like
she doesn't cover your hotel.
I think It's unclear from the, like, I read the, like, itinerary and what's covered, what's not.
Yeah.
It's kind of unclear. I'm not entirely sure.
Let's just call it amenities not included.
A 4-day, 5-star cruise.
Oh, that's
is
nice.
Included.
That is nice.
So there's that.
I like a 4-day, 5-star cruise.
Right. That might be worth $3,500, probably. I don't fucking know.
I doubt it.
I don't know. Anyway, this is bad. I feel bad for her, but I also don't, because.
Man, it's fascinating. Where the people that we regularly cover broke. Alex and Carrie now.
Alex is
broke as fuck.
Alex is a multi-level marketing guy.
Yeah.
Carrie is in debt now.
Yeah.
She had to put traveling on her credit cards.
She maxed out her credit cards with going
traveling.
To Egypt.
Right. So we have one more clip, and this actually makes me feel much less pity for her.
We've got some other shows coming up. I am still inviting Isaac Cappy to come on the show. I was hoping to have him on tomorrow.
No,
actually.
Don't do that.
So stay tuned in case that happens.
No.
He's the one who is kind of a whistleblower talking about the pedophilia in Hollywood.
Great.
And you know, all of that. So it will be great when he gets around to coming on my show.
Isaac Cappy.
Wait, it's that fucking guy?
The guy who said that...
It's for real Isaac Cappy.
The guy who said that Seth Green wanted to talk to him about chicken, and that means that he's a pedophile. Yep,
how
the guy who
it?
Was on Alex
Wait,
Jones'
how
show.
How is Isaac Cappy going to go on Project... Do they, like, have a conference? Do they hang out?
What do you mean?
I mean, does the producer of Project Camelot, like...
That's Carrie. She doesn't have a team.
I apologize.
Oh, by the way, I forgot to bring this up. In that last clip, she was talking about her webmaster not being able to pay him. The last time we did an episode about Eddie Page, on that episode, she's talking about how her webmaster disappeared and that she needed to get a replacement webmaster. And she does not talk about it in the context of I couldn't pay him. But that's clearly what was going
on. Right.
In the middle of the show, Eddie Page is like, that webmaster disappearing is probably the man trying to come down on you. And she was like, yeah, probably. So she was presenting it as a thing where it's like, this is an attack from the would-be globalists or secret space program or whatever she would call it. She couldn't pay him.
It turns
there's
out.
There's a very concrete explanation for everything
that
she pretends.
It turns out he didn't want to work for free.
Right. There's a concrete explanation for everything that she's claiming is some sort of attack. Yeah. In the same way that she was like, there's some sort of weird cyber weapon coming at me. You had Bell's palsy. It went away. Thank God it did. But stop it. Stop with this bullshit. I understand that it's tough out there. It's tough.
It is tough out there.
It's tough to make money when you're doing something. I get that. I'm nothing.
No, you get that.
I'm nothing but empathetic. I absolutely am. Yeah. But you gotta stop lying. And you cannot have Isaac Cappy on your fucking show.
You can't have him on. He's just a fucking nothing.
Well, he's a con man.
He's not even that.
Yeah, he is.
He's pathetic.
He's a sensationalist, dangerous, minimizing of pedophilia.
He's a failed actor.
Fuck you, he's a whistleblower.
Nah. that's how bad an actor he is. He's not even good at acting like he's a whistleblower.
Mm-hmm.
He's a bad faith actor. He's a bad actor.
Good enough to get on Project Camelot and the Alex Jones Show.
God, I swear. Is that what it's called now?
What?
I wonder if he could rebrand.
The Alex Jones Show?
Yeah. Instead, do like a daytime talk show, like Megyn Kelly.
Well, I mean,
what if he went to the Megyn Kelly route? He does a daytime talk show. He talks to Dr. Phil all the time. It'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, he already called his show The Final Edition back in the day. You know, it would be nice to have a new flair to it.
Yeah.
Who gives a shit?
What is up with this pregnant mom who had 6 kids? Probably aliens. Got to talk to Alex Jones.
Well, we got a lie detector test to see if it's aliens. Results are in. It's an alien.
It's an
crowd
alien.
Goes wild. So, Jordan, this brings us to the end of this Project Camelot dalliance, I guess. This was fun for me on a number of levels because this guy, I mean, he's not even crazy in, like, the crazy way. You know, he's just bad.
Yeah.
He just doesn't know what he's talking about and has managed to trick a couple hundred people, and that gives him enough credibility to come on Carrie's program, and he doesn't say anything too offensive to her worldview, so she goes along with it quite well. But
I would argue that at the end of this podcast, I put him squarely on the stupid end of the stupid/evil continuum.
But what about that part where he threatens people? That's kind of a function of stupidity.
Yeah, that's a dumb person thing to do.
Yeah, rage and anger are kind of dumb expressions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know, man. It's hard.
And he didn't write it. Like, if he wrote a really threatening letter, like the Unabomber,
well written.
Yeah, yeah. It was complete with a series of steps that he would take.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different story than a guy who. It might as well be tweeting angrily on his phone.
Or, like, if he found personal information about those people. Like, that would be scarier, but also indicate higher intelligence.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I do.
The smartest thing to do would just be to blow their studio up or whatever without any evidence that it was you.
I mean, we got to it too early, I think, with, like, the idea of, like, he doesn't understand perspective. But, like, that to me is absolutely makes me on your side in terms of stupid.
Oh, yeah.
But I do still think he's a con man, for sure. But maybe not as robust a career of one yet.
Right.
But who knows what he will blossom into.
He's got work to do, but I think he's got Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I was terrible at stand up when I was only 2 years
old.
Holy shit. Yeah. It takes at least 10 years.
You don't even have a couple minutes on stage at 2 years.
I'm still 3 years away from being good.
Speaking of which, tonight, as this episode comes out,
Zanies. I'm at Zanies in Rosemont. I'll be there from Wednesday or tonight until Sunday.
If any policy wonks want to come out and check out the show, they should
find a way to get free tickets.
Sneak in the back door.
It's not hard.
Yeah. Also, we have a website, KnowledgeFight.com.
Indeed we do. What if you wanted to find us on the Twitter machine?
@knowledge_fight.
Okay. Now, we only do one social network, I assume, right? There's no other social network that we're on, right?
Jordan, I have big news for you.
What?
We are also on Facebook.
When did we do that?
We've been on there for a while.
Oh, okay.
We have a group called Go Home and Tell Your Mother You're Brilliant.
Okay.
It's where everyone should go.
Please, yeah.
I mean, if you want to like the page, that's great. And if you want to leave a review on the page, we would appreciate that quite a bit. Also, because Facebook is a fucking pile of shit, they changed everything up. We had a bunch of reviews on our Facebook page. We had something like 60-something reviews, all 5 stars except for 2 assholes who sent me threatening messages who were clearly InfoWars fans and bitterly posted 1 star. But the rest of it was great. It was this nice collection of things. And now Facebook has changed it to recommendations. So you don't leave stars anymore. You just, would you recommend this to your friends? So they've changed the entire thing into a thing where it's like, if you know that if you click that, it's going to post it on your fucking page.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they're trying to make it more intrusive to like a page. So never mind. Fuck it. Don't even do that.
Just join the group.
Yeah, that's what's important.
It's fun. It's my I don't have a Facebook anymore, so I like to lurk in there just like as a random stranger. So it's fun.
Also, you need to do a second run through the Pokemon Go.
Through the Pokemon Go.
There's more have been added that I think they'll feel left out.
They'll feel left out
if you don't.
When the original thread happened, I tried to add everybody.
There's
so
more.
I'll keep jumping in there.
A lot of people want to play Pokemon Go with you, which is great.
It's fun.
We're also on iTunes.
Indeed we are.
Various places.
Dan, you know, there's just one thing that's been in the back of my mind through this whole episode, which is that Bruce Sees All should have seen at least one thing.
Well, the set of things that is described by the word all.
Yeah.
Were he to see all, there are a number of things he would see.
But there's at least one thing that he would have seen.
Certainly.
That would be really important.
Right. There would be me making eggs this morning. He would have seen that.
Are you sure?
Yep, that's one of the things he would have seen. Another thing is he would have seen that Alex Jones probably killed a dude.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.